Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to bring in our good friend Bill Shanks from 93.1 FM in Macon, 98.3 FM in Warner Robins and South Central Georgia, also 105.9 FM in Warner Robins, all over the place. Hey, Bill, good morning.
When you hear these ages of these songs, these singers, my God, it makes you feel old, doesn't it? Holy cow.
Yeah, here's the scary thing. So, yeah. All right, it's like, okay, Donald Fagen, it's like Steely Dan, he's 71.
Right.
And then you look up, like, so the song that we were just playing, Ricky Don't Lose That Number, that song
right.
itself is 45 years old.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I know.
That song is 45 years old.
It's 14 years older than me.
I was telling this story the other day, and I don't mean to bore our listeners, but I'll tell it real quickly. When I was a kid in college, before I went to Athens, in 1990, the summer of 1990, I worked for an adult contemporary radio station just to get money for college and whatever. And it was called Class 102.5. And we played, it was an adult contemporary station, but you got to think about it now. It was 1990. So we were playing like soft hits. It wasn't rock and roll. It was, we probably played, you know, Donald Fagen. But I remember having the conversation with the program director with a couple other people, like, look, we were still playing like late 50s and 60s songs, and even though they were like 30 years old, you know, it sounded different. Now if we play a song from 30 years ago, which is 1988, the year I graduated, everybody knows it's like music's changed so much, but it's still, when you think about how old some of those songs from the early 70s are, some of those rock songs that are like 45 and 50 years old, it just almost haunts you. You can't believe how old some of these songs are that have become so much traditional, because even young people, when they go to the Georgia football game, will sing on the karaoke board, you know, but it's just a wild how that's changed and how music is like that. It's crazy. That probably bored everybody, and they probably all turned the channel.
No, I feel the same
anyway.
Way. I feel it's just like the age of a song like that hits me a little harder than like the age of a musician. I mean, that's,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, golly, you know, that song's going to be, you know, same with movies too. You know, you'll be watching a movie and you go, golly, this movie's 30 years old or 35, 40. It's like, oh my gosh. It's incredible.
It's crazy.
It really
it's
is.
It's crazy. So we're old. It's like, welcome to the old Sportscasters Radio Network right here.
Sam's just sitting back laughing at us. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a millennial. Shut up, Sam. We don't want to hear from you.
Hey,
in 30 years, David and I will be doing this. We'll be spitting up on the front porch rock in a rocking chair one day, but we'll still be on the air.
Get off my lawn. Yeah.
Hey, I just hope to get to the point where I can, you know, actually embody the Clint Eastwood gif of him walking out on the porch and looking around in a whole new world.
Absolutely.
There you go. You'll feel it. It'll be here before you know it, Sam. Believe me.
Well, Bill, what's going on with the Braves scouting department?
I wasn't really surprised, and for a couple of reasons. The main reason is when a general manager comes in who is totally brand new, no ties to organization whatsoever, there is usually fairly significant turnover. That happened in 1990 when John Charles took over, and he had obviously never been with the Braves before. He came from Kansas City. There was significant turnover in the organization, both in scouting and player development, where and it wasn't all immediate. It was over time where his people just became his employees. And I think that was expected, and I think even the employees of the Braves had to worry about that as Alex Anthopoulos was coming in. The timing, obviously, is a little bit peculiar because they had given Roy Clark and Brian Bridges contract extensions. And, you know, there was obviously an issue with the Braves not signing their first-round draft pick last year, which is still being debated, and there's a grievance that's been filed by the Major League Baseball Players Association. And that did not help the situation, I'm sure. But I want to say this, David. Brian Bridges and Roy Clark, and I'm not objective in this whatsoever because I like both of them a great deal. I've known Roy Clark for 15 years and Brian Bridges for – I don't know, 8 or 9, 10 years maybe. But I've especially known Roy Clark for a long time. And they have done great work for the Atlanta Braves over the years. And Roy Clark has been great. He is responsible for so many kids being drafted. Adam Wainwright, Adam LaRoche, Jeff Francoeur, Brian McCann. You can go on and on with his list. Jason Hayward, Freddie Freeman. And Brian Bridges, obviously, the last couple of years has been very good as a scouting director. It's unfortunate that they are gone because I think they are great scouts. And, again, I'm not objective at all. I just know them and I know how they are, and I think they are very, very good at what they do. I think it's unfortunate that even if Alex Anthopoulos wanted his own people in the organization, he could still not find room for these two in some capacity because of how good they are and what their track record is. So that, I think, is very unfortunate. But, look, it's just the way it happens. I mean, the three of us know it in our business. Well, I own my station, so it's a little bit different. But, I mean, if we get bought out, wherever we've worked in broadcasting, if a new owner or a new GM or new program director comes in, we may be fired. It happens. That's just the way of the world. So that's kind of what happened here, I think, more than anything else. And I just hate that they couldn't have found some room for them to contribute to the Braves in some capacity.
Bill Shanks joining us here on the morning show.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at the way that Alex Anthopoulos came in, and you hit the nail on the head there. This might just be a case of, you know, him wanting to come in and kind of, I said it this way earlier, remake the franchise in his own image. You know, he came in sort of halfway through a rebuild, and for all of the negative things John Coppola did, I mean, he's a big reason why the Braves are where they are right now. So does it worry you a little bit that, you know, instead of kind of a, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? And look, there were some things that were broke. Obviously, if you were breaking the rules, that's one thing, but a lot of it, you know, was up to standard or whatever. So it's like he's coming in here and, you know, trying to change up a lot of stuff when, you know, quite frankly, it was working, unless there was some rule breaking.
Well, he said that he was going to evaluate everything last year, and that was his right as the new general manager to evaluate not only the players but also the scouts, also the you know, look, they fired several long time minor league managers. They fired Rocket Wheeler, who had been there since 2003. They fired Randy Engel, who had been there since 1977. He was there the same time that Brian Snitker came in, and Randy Engel has won over 1,000 games as a minor league manager. He was been Macon, he's been in Rome, he's been at every level, all the levels, to be honest with you, as a manager for the Braves. And I don't think Alex did that. I think it was Dom Chidi, who was his farm director, that he allowed to make that decision. Now, again, it's hard for me to kind of separate myself personally from these people because I've known them a long time. And I would like to say to Alex Anthopoulos and Dom Chidi, you're telling me you couldn't find some way for these people to contribute to the Atlanta Braves? Really? You know, and that's my only thing is a person's got a right to have his own people in. Unless they did something wrong, which I don't think is the case for any of these people. I mean, I don't know the circumstances completely about the Carter Stewart situation of last year. So they may think that they had to do what they did because of what happened with Carter Stewart, the first round draft pick. But as far as minor league managers are concerned, you got a guy who's there for 41 years, and you're going to let him go after all this time. And thankfully, Randy Engel found a job. But you know, that's not the Braves' way. I'll say that we've talked about for many years. Randy Engel is the Braves' way. Brian Snitker, Paul Snyder, people that have been there for a long time, that's the Braves' way. And you know, I love John Schultz and what he's done, obviously, for this organization for many years. But the only thing I ever had a problem with, and it wasn't necessarily something that I was going to go up and talk to him about and have a sit-down for crying out loud, but you know, Braves baseball did not begin when John Schultz got there in 1990. There was 25 years of Braves baseball before that. And look, it wasn't very good, but it was our Braves baseball. And for those of us who grew up on Braves baseball, even in the 70s and 80s when they sucked, that was still our Braves baseball. And, you know, Braves baseball didn't start when Alex Anthopoulos took over either. So that's part of it that I just have a little bit of a problem with. And it's like, these are good baseball people. These are good men. Find room for them. You know, find room for them. Even if you're going to bring your people in, find room for them. And I'll say this. Let me kind of say this before we move on or whatever. We know where some of this is headed because statistics and analytics are taking over this sport. And I just hope that the people who replaced Brian Bridges and Roy Clark aren't wearing a hat with a propeller on top of it.
But they might be.
Well, they might be, because that's where the game's headed. I mean, it is an analytical sport now. You can't have a conversation with anybody about baseball without launch angle and bull crap that's not on the baseball card. And I mean, I know here I sound like Clint Eastwood again, get off my lawn, but the game's changing.
Talking with Bill Shanks, and it is kind of interesting. You mentioned the baseball card. Sam and I, from time to time, will open a pack of baseball cards on the air just to see who we get and that kind of thing. And I opened some the other day, and Sam and I were stunned by, like, even on the back of baseball cards, when they put their stats on there or they put their little comments about what they do well, there's things on there we haven't even heard of. So 6, 7, 8-year-old kids, I guess, or 10, 12-year-old kids, if they do still buy baseball cards, they're seeing all. And I'm not just talking about war. I'm talking about I don't have the cards in front of me, but we were talking about this the other day. I mean, there's – what do you call them? Sam's got some over there maybe that just I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
that's where we're headed.
Metrics and things like that. Yeah. Not on these that we have over here, but certainly just a bunch of different metrics and things like that. Whereas, you know, baseball is definitely becoming a little bit different.
Yeah. I mean, that absolutely so. So I guess that's just what we're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. And I think I said this on the show a couple months ago. I said, you know, I mean, I'm 48 years old. I'm right behind you, David, and I pray to God that you and I in 10, 15 years, when we're watching baseball and we're in our mid-60s, won't not recognize it. You know, I hope it's not going to turn so severe in that direction that it won't be what we grew up with, and that the purity of the game can still remain in place. And I understand progression. I understand, you know, things that happen over time, but my gosh, it just seems like in the last year or two with the discussion, it's like I had a discussion with a buddy of mine we were talking yesterday. And we were talking about why the free agency is so slow. And he said, you know, he was thinking about it, and he said, here's what I think. He said, and I think this is really, really spot on. He said, I think all of these teams have all of these analysts who look at the game differently, and they value players differently. David Johnston, the free agent, may be valued by the Atlanta Braves as a $3 million player, while the Cardinals may value him as a $5 million player, because they're looking at different analytics that, for them and for their eyes, determine the value of the player. And he said, I think that's why it's slowed down so much, to where there's almost a dispute, because these agents are also going to have a value of what they feel like the team should look at their client as, but everybody's on the same page with that. And in a way, it's not like we can believe that teams are looking at the back of an old baseball card and trying to determine whether or not they want them or not, because these teams are looking at so much data that it makes it difficult for fluidity in the market. And I think he's right. I think that's part of it. And that's interesting, but it's the way the game is viewed and looked at and overanalyzed. And I think it's another part of it that's seeing changes in the sport.
Bill, how much does the international, the handcuffing of what the Braves can do internationally, when do they start to feel that, or how much are they feeling it, and how big will that end up being?
It's a very big deal, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think my fear, David, and Ryan Bridges and Roy Clark not being there, is that the draft has got to be very successful the next couple of years for the Braves to continue to have a very robust farm system, because the other side that allows them to procure talent is not going to be available to them for a couple of years. And that you've got to hit home runs in the draft coming up the next couple of years, and now you're going to start over with the amateur scouting. That was a big question I had last night when I heard this was going to happen, is that, man, you're getting ready to have three drafts, let's just say, for the next 3 years, where you have got to hit home runs. You know, I mean, everybody has a bad draft. Roy Clark had a bad draft. I don't think Brian Bridges had a bad draft, but I mean, well, I guess you could say last year not having the first-round draft pick. But if everybody's going to have a bad draft or what perceived to be a bad draft, they can't afford to have that now, David, because the other side of having talent come into your system with international talent is just not going to be there. So it's going to be – but, the problem is, and I don't have the specifics of the – of the sanctions in front of me, it's several years. I think it's like through 2021. But, you know, the problem about that, David, is if you're penalized in 2021 for players you can't sign that year, if you had been able to sign players, those would not be prospects probably until 2025 or 2026 or 7. So that's the long-standing impact of the sanctions that they were hit with.
Bill, I was talking with a buddy of mine who works for MLB.com, and I was just asking about, you know, chirps or anything they may be hearing about some of the starting pitchers, whether it be via trade or whether it be via free agency, that are going to be on the move. And I, you know, asked about the Braves, and he said if that's even what the Braves are looking for. And we've talked about this before with you on this show about how a lot of people, myself included, think they need to go out and get that frontline starter, because if they're kind of in the same mold as the Astros, what really put them over the hump was getting Verlander. So on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, from Bill Shank's perspective, how much do they need that? Because if they don't even think they need to go out and get it, or they don't need to put that at a premium and trust their young arms, then that's one thing from them. But it seems like from the outside, people think that's what they would need.
I think the question is going to be have to be answered, Sam. What scale of 1 to 10, what's the need right now, January the 10th? I think that is a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, the Astros got Justin Verlander on August the 31st.
Right.
So I believe that the Braves' approach is going to be, let's go to spring training. I think they're going to say, you know, Corey Kluber, we're just not going to give all that up for Corey Kluber. We're just not. We're just not. Whether that's right or wrong, we're not going to do it. And we're not going to sign Dallas Keuchel, which I'm glad I don't really want Dallas Keuchel. But we're not going to sign a big-time free agent first the rotation. Let's go to the start of the season. Let's have our kids be part of this. Let's see who can win a job in spring training with the fourth and fifth spots. And let's go from there. And if we feel like during the year we need to go get our Justin Verlander, for lack of a better term, I think they'll go get that then. I think they could go get a Madison Bumgarner then, or a Corey Kluber then, if they feel like, boy, this is really going to push us over the top if we have our type of starting pitcher that we can depend on. But I just don't see the urgency right now for that. It's almost like they're going to get a right fielder. They're going to decide between bringing Markakis back or someone else. And I want to tell you, I think that's going to be a – 1 year deal. I think, and I've heard more stuff about Christian Pache, the young player. You know, I was told back last summer that by the double A hitting coach, who was his hitting coach at the time, because Christian was in double A, he told me, he said, this kid's going to come back to double A and he'll be ready by the All-Star break next year for Atlanta. So if they continue to be convinced of that, and I, from the sound of it, they are, then I think it's going to be a short-term year for the right fielder. I think they're going to get a relief pitcher in some vein. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Kimbrel unless his price drops dramatically, which, I mean, he ain't going nowhere right now, so it might happen. And then go at it and see what happens. And if the need is there in the rotation, then I think before July 31st or August 31st, they'll try to strike then. But I don't see the sense of urgency that they're going to do it this offseason right now, no.
Just feels like everyone else around the Braves are doing things. And the Braves, right. Not that they haven't done anything, it just feels like, right. And again, I'm trying like not to be one of those reactionary people, but it's just like, right. And we'll see what happens with Machado and a couple of these other players, but it's almost like you get the feeling the NL East is like, how did we let the Braves win the division last year? This cannot happen again, you know?
Yeah.
The competitors.
It's better right now. I'm on paper. Phillies are better, I think, with McCutchen and Segura and Robertson. I think the Mets with Cano are going to be a little bit better. You know, the Mets were better late last year anyway, and they still have that rotation, which is dangerous, with DeGrom and Syndergaard and Mott and all those guys. And you know, I think the Nationals, it just depends on Bryce, but they've got Corbin coming in for that ridiculous contract that makes their rotation better with Corbin and Strasburg and Scherzer. So no, the East is better. So it's like if you take – the main reason the Braves won 90 games last year is because of their dominance in the National League East.
Yes.
That may not happen this year, David. You know, that may be more difficult to do. So you're going to have to come up with those wins against other teams, and it's going to be more difficult. So, no, I think it's a big deal heading into spring training. But, look, I'm also hoping that with the tempered activity, I'll call it, that it is a sign that Alex Anthopoulos does believe that these prospects can be very special kids, that they can be significant players. We just may not know it yet. I mean, we didn't know the impact Acuña would have last year or this time. We hoped it would be significant, but we never could have dreamed it would have been like that. Maybe there is another prospect like a Kyle Wright or a Mike Soroka or someone like that, or maybe even a Christian Pache does the same type of thing that Acuña did. And because of how heralded these prospects are, you can't blame Anthopoulos if he believes, hey, this could be where our impact comes from. It's cheaper. It's ours. We don't have to give anything up. And let's see if it works before, if we know we need something. You know, my big problem with this team right now, to be honest with you, even beyond bullpen or rotation, the fourth hitter. If Donaldson's sitting second, who the heck's hitting cleanup?
That's the thing. Who knows?
Who knows? Bill, I don't want Marquez back for that because he's not a cleanup hitter.
All right, Bill, one more thing before we let you go here. I am going to say four teams: Angels, Dodgers, Cubs, Yankees. The two big fish on the market are Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Of those four teams, Cubs, Angels, Dodgers, Yankees, do those two players end up on those four teams from those four choices?
No, I think Machado's already down the White Sox and Phillies, and I hope he'll go to the White Sox. And I think Harper's going to go to the Dodgers. I just still think there's going to be some way for him to wind up out there. They've got the most money. I'm hoping he'll go out there. I don't think he wants to go to Philadelphia. I hope he doesn't go back to Washington because that'll weaken them. If Washington doesn't sign Harper, they'll sign Markakis. And with all due respect to Nick, who was great for the Braves last year, I don't want him back. Even for 1 year, I just don't think he's a cleanup hitter. I'd rather have Adam Jones for 1 year than Nick Markakis. So I think Machado's going to the White Sox, and I think Bryce is going to the Dodgers. I still do.
By the way, so the Braves are going to get the 9th and 21st picks, right, in this year's draft?
Right.
Okay.
Well, there's a chance that 9th pick may be taken away from them, but that's the plan right now, yeah.
Because Dave O'Brien just retweeted something from The Athletic.
Yeah, well,
that said this has been resolved and they won't forfeit that 9th pick.
Oh, well, good. Yeah, I mean, that must be coming out today then. Because
I mean, he literally, this was like 5 minutes ago.
Okay, well, good. Well, that's good. That's great news because it's not something. Yeah, I just looked at my phone with the and somebody texted me about it. Yeah, so that's great news because look, again, the draft has got to be solid. So they did not need to lose a top 10 draft pick. I don't know who they're going to draft. It doesn't matter. But as far as that level of talent, college, high school, I don't care who it is, they did not need to give up a nut pick overall in the draft. That would have been a catastrophic situation, in my opinion. 21st is good, but 9th is just really important.
Great stuff as always, Bill. Good to talk to you. It's the first time you and I've been all. We had the phone issue last week, and I don't think I've had a chance to talk to you all. So happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. I'm glad to be back on. I'm surprised y'all weren't canceled after that segment being canceled last week.
I know. So well, we were reprimanded. Yeah, so.
Glad to talk to y'all. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Bill. See you. Bill Shanks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.